Your On The Mark podcast is loading now. The On The Mark podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Thursday. We're going to have fun today. Scheduled on the show today on this, the 25th anniversary of Penn State's inclusion in the Big Ten officially being voted in, we'll have the great Michigan historian John Bacon, who's been on this show before. Lou Prado will join us here in the Sunbury Motors studio. And then we'll also take a little side trip to the Belmont Stakes and talk with Jody McDonald of CBS Sports. Tomorrow, Dick Girardi will be on the show on the Belmont. And also coming up tomorrow, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. And we'll also have one of the reporters from Fox from the Pocono Raceway as Jeff Gordon has the Penn State car running this weekend on Sunday at Pocono. We welcome you to the show. Jody McDonald next half hour, John Bacon at 4:06, Lou Prado final half hour. That's how the show is scheduled to work today. We've tried to make this as much of an Indy-free zone as possible. It's very important to do that.
There is a race this weekend, though, just for those that are interested.
And I would like to point out a very important word. What is that word? Irrelevant to the audience. All right, let's...
No, we have a listener in Hanover that I know that loves IndyCar as well, so I'm here for him.
Yeah, we love him too. Okay. The 25 years of Penn State and the Big Ten. I'm going to start out with one quick premise. I know people are mad at the Big Ten when it comes to how they have handled everything 3.5 years ago. I understand that. Who wouldn't understand that? Maybe should have had a dollar of bowl money taken away. The censure thing's an absolute joke. But for those who say, they should have gone to the ACC, the grass, my friends, is not always greener on the other side. It's not always greener, not even close.
I think you made a great point yesterday when you said, think of how many teams have left the Big Ten, the SEC, the Pac-12.
None.
Zero.
And I've made that point before. They're the three conferences that have not lost a single member. They have absorbed members. Texas A&M, Missouri from the Big 12 to the SEC. Colorado from the Big 12, Utah Mountain West to the Pac-12. Maryland ACC to the Big Ten. Nebraska Big 12 to the Big Ten. And, of course, Rutgers from points wherever to the Big Ten. Big East, American Conference. I mean, Rutgers, believe it or not, was in three different conferences in 3 years. you want to talk about little vagabonds traveling around. But look, I'm a person that is now, Penn State is about to play its 23rd season in Big Ten football. Well, I'm about to broadcast my 16th of those 23. Penn State is about to play its 24th season in the Big Ten in basketball. I've done all 24. I did all 9 years of the Atlantic 10. I did all 9 years of the Atlantic 10. The step from there to the Big Ten, in terms of pure basketball competition, and feeling like you were part of something big, is really, you can't put the two in the same realm. Penn State going into the Big Ten, it benefited both sides. Penn State had stability now in schedules for 8 games, and it's about to be 9 games beginning next year. It locked them into a TV package that they didn't have to negotiate themselves. They never knew when they joined this thing there would be a Big Ten network. Never knew that. Who could have foreseen that? It stabilized bowl money every year, made it easier to budget. I know, you know, we all know they didn't get it the last couple of years. I understand that. But I'm talking overall here, big picture. And also, Penn State upgraded their facilities across the board because they felt they needed to. The Jordan Center, whether you love it or not, the Jordan Center was built. Rec Hall's been improved. Beaver Stadium is expanded. Now they're going to have to put more money into Beaver Stadium. I firmly believe more money is going to have to go into Beaver Stadium, not just. I mean, they're putting $2 million into the press box this year, but eventually they're going to have to do something with that. But they need to do something with better branding and concession stands, more bathrooms, more modern bathrooms. I mean, you know, things like that that they'll need to do. But they still have upgraded those facilities. Field hockey has a better situation than they ever have been. Lacrosse has a better situation than they ever have had. And conversely, I think you've seen an upgrade in facilities in the Big Ten, too. Now, Penn State, for example, is going to need a new indoor, or at least a refurbished indoor practice facility for football. I mean, Haluba Hall is now 30 years old. But you've seen Schembechler Hall, you've seen the Woody Hayes Center, practice facility finally built now at Iowa, practice facility now built at Michigan State. And then what did Penn State do? Penn State brought to the table the Eastern market that opened up an incredible door for Jim Delaney to negotiate TV contracts, because Penn State brought with it the Pittsburgh-Philadelphia markets and gave them enough cachet in Baltimore, Washington, and New York that allowed the Big Ten to negotiate at the table with ABC and ESPN. And also, Penn State brought with it a change in attitude. Bo Schembechler was a great football coach. Great football coach. But he also then started to bring the attitude that the Big Ten championship was the single most important championship for them to win. Penn State came in and brought with it, no, you play for the whole thing, and along the way, you'll win the Big Ten championship, which is really cool. But you're trying to win the whole thing every year. Penn State brought that attitude in. And I think it then in turn changed the attitude at Ohio State. It changed the attitude at Michigan. Changed eventually the attitude at Michigan State, Wisconsin. That you're playing for the whole thing. It's not just winning the Big Ten. Now you try to win your division, which then gets you the Big Ten championship, which then is a stepping stone to, you know, you're going to every year trying to win the whole thing. That the single most important thing is not winning the Big Ten championship. The single most important thing is winning the national championship, which Ohio State did in 2002 and 2014, which Michigan did in 1997. And, of course, we know what Penn State did in 1994. But that's now that attitude was important. And you may not like what the Big Ten did in 2012 with Penn State, but that doesn't mean there's greener pastures someplace else, because they're not. The ACC does cover a lot of area. The ACC is a very good conference. ACC has been a great basketball conference. It's been no better than an okay football conference. No better than okay. I think the biggest loser in all this has been Pitt. I think they've been, I think if they had to pick any school that this has affected more than anybody else, on the negative side has been Pitt. Pitt's had great basketball going into the Big East, but in the 1980s, Pitt had exactly what they wanted in the 1980s. They had Big East basketball, thriving, big markets, huge. And they were independent in football and had Penn State on their schedule every year. On this day in 1990, when Penn State's voted into the Big Ten, it changed everything. And it changed everything for Pitt football. Suddenly, there was going to be no Penn State in the schedule. Suddenly, we have to do something. So they formed a Big East football league. I didn't say conference, football league. The Big East was a league. It's not a conference. When you have to cobble together sports or cobble together programs where some play basketball but don't play football, others play football and basketball, it's a mess. And you have Notre Dame doing really whatever it feels like. It's a league. Well, they put together the Big East Football League, which had its share of unbelievable instability. You know, one year you got Virginia Tech, the next year they're in the ACC. You got Miami, they go to the ACC. And I think it has been a setback for Pitt football dramatically over the years. Pitt has had some, quote, good years. Pitt has not had a great year in 30-plus years. I mean, they've had some good years, but when's the last time Pitt football had a great year? And I think when Penn State went to the Big Ten, that was a blow that they really have not been able to come back from football-wise. Basketball-wise, Pitt's been in great shape the entire time. The Big East thing has been awesome for them. They have been a national power, a Sweet 16-level program for many, many years. Had some great players run through there. Now they're in the ACC, and Barry Rorson's now recruiting at Kentucky and is not recruiting at Pitt, and that's going to be interesting to see how the next 5 years play out for Pitt basketball in the ACC. Very interesting. But anybody who says, Penn State should go to the ACC, okay, take your anger, check it at the door, look at the big picture. The money flow, especially on TV, and all the advantages that come with the Big Ten and the stability of it is something you can't put a price on. You can't. And the money from TV will be a big reason why Penn State financially will turn the corner. Next half hour will be Jody McDonald, then John Bacon on Penn State and the Big Ten at 4:06. Lou Prado, final half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. You now look moving forward when you have a division with Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Maryland all on one side. That's some significant football you're going to be seeing on an every year basis because those are the teams in your division. And that is going to bring with it some intense games and some really great rivalry games along the way. Rutgers certainly has a chance on the rivalry side because there seems to be an intensity among the fan base over it. Also, Maryland and Rutgers being in the Big Ten to go with Ohio State. Those are games that fans in Pennsylvania, especially fans on this side of the state, can travel to if they so desire. And wrestling-wise, the Big Ten is the top wrestling conference in the country. Women's volleyball, it's the top women's volleyball conference in the country. It has been arguably the top one or two men's basketball conferences in the country. I mean, for goodness sakes, Kevin and his son and Dave Ritchie went to the Penn State-Wisconsin game. Well, you're not going to get, I mean, before Penn State was in the Big Ten, you weren't going to have the national runner-up in your building. It wasn't going to happen. I mean, the Fab Five, for goodness sakes, played in Rec Hall in their sophomore year. Bob Knight coaching in Rec Hall and in the Jordan Center with some of those Indiana teams. And, of course, the near miss and the controversial ending of that game in 1993. But you think of all the players that have come through, and then and certain things you can't count on. I mean, the Big Ten Network? Who thought that back in 1990? Nobody.
Steve, was that the first conference to have its own dedicated television network? I thought so.
Yes. Yes, first one. Look, Joe Paterno was a great visionary. There was a point back in the 70s where Wayne Duke, Ed Checkeye, Wayne Duke was the commissioner of the Big Ten before Jim Delaney. And Ed Checkeye and Joe got involved in this. And they kind of loosely talked about it. And Duke kind of ran it past a couple of people in the Big Ten. No, we didn't want to do it. Not right now. It wasn't like it was never talked about. It was. And remember, I go back to that conversation I had on the air with Jim Tarman. And Jim Tarman, one of the really great men who taught me so much about big picture athletics. And I asked him, and Jim, when I talked to Jim, he would give me long, thoughtful answers. And I remember when I asked him about the Big Ten, it's the summer of 89. And I said, is the burner on? And if so, where would the burner be? He'd say, well, it'll probably be on the back burner. It's on low. Now, Jim never gave short answers like that. And I remember thinking, that means the burner is on. May not be full steam headed toward a heavy boil, but it sounds like the burner's on. Well, the burner was on. And it was the first time it was openly revealed anywhere that there was a burner that was on somewhere. Financially, if you're going to have a Penn State entered with 29 sports, they have 31 now. If you're going to have a 31 sport program, you need to have the power of a conference like this around you where you know you're going to get guaranteed TV money. You're going to get guaranteed exposure. You're going to get guaranteed bowl money every year. I mean, it's locked in. Where if you're an independent, you miss a bowl game, you don't get a dime. And that's the kind of financial stability that makes a major difference for an athletic department. Competition-wise, the Big Ten has its ups and downs. Right now, the Big Ten is on a major upswing in all the major sports. Best wrestling in the country. Men's basketball. Football certainly on the rise. Women's volleyball. I mean, now they've ventured into lacrosse. And when that Big Ten tournament gets to Madison Square Garden in New York, Madison Square Garden is not going to be pining for the Big East anymore.
If you think you can't afford a new car,
Sunbury Motors Hyundai says you can.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is Central Pennsylvania's volume Hyundai dealer.
We sell volume by making brand new Hyundais more affordable than other import brands.
Listen to this.
A brand new 2016 Hyundai Elantra Value Edition comes with push button start, sunroof, Bluetooth, alloy wheels, and sells for only $17,827
or $218 per month.
You have to hurry because these 29 Elantras will be gone in 2 weeks. All new Hyundais come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. A brand new Elantra with lots of stuff for only $218 per month and comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty.
And it's not a lease, you own it.
No wonder Sunbury Motors Hyundai is the volume Hyundai dealer in Central PA. Sonatas, Santa Fe's, Tucson's, and Velocitors are all priced at volume pricing. Remember, when you think you can't afford a new car, Sunbury Motors Hyundai says
you can.
Hurry into Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
$218 per month for 84 months at 3.89% with 10% down plus tax and
800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, where Kevin is darting around the valley in another beautiful Sunbury Motors vehicle.
Yeah, I have a Sunbury Motors Hyundai Sonata 2.0 Turbo Limited. And the Limited is one that has just about everything you could possibly imagine, including push-button start. So with keyless entry, you basically have the key fob in your pocket. You hit the button once on the door, and then that unlocks the driver's side door. You hit it twice, it unlocks all four doors. and then you just start the vehicle. One of the nice things, though, about having a push-button start vehicle, you will never, ever lock your keys in the car because it will sense the key fob is in the vehicle, and you won't be able to lock the doors. Now, when the key fob's out of the vehicle, it won't start because it'll sense that the key fob's not there. So not only is it convenient, but also helps with theft protection. And there is a ton of airbags in there for safety as well. I mean, you're going to be completely surrounded by cushioned airbags if something should happen.
Now, so, for example, say I don't put the key in the ignition and don't turn it, then it's not going to start either.
Well, there's no ignition, though. There's no key.
Yeah.
You just have to ruin everything, don't you? You just can't let it go, can you? Fine. It's got heated and cooled seats as well.
No! We're back to your seat. No!
Check out all the great features available in the Sunbury Motors Hyundai Sonata 2.0 Turbo Limited and see why you should be driving it as soon as tomorrow afternoon at Sunbury Motors North 4th Street, Sunbury.
Oh, what happens tomorrow afternoon?
Tomorrow, actually later in the morning, it will be returned to the Hyundai dealership.
Out of my cold dead hands.
Out of my cold dead hands. You can have the fob out of my cold dead hands.
Dead hands.
Urban right, Sunset, by the way, is the color. And let me tell you, it's a sharp looking Urban Sunset color. I like that.
No offense. I'm allergic to anything that says urban. All right. That's a Big Ten thing. Okay. Do you get it?
I do. I got it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I didn't, like, you know, suddenly throw a fastball at 92 past you.
Did he move to State College again?
No.
Didn't he buy land in State College a few years ago?
The best one was the Roger Staubach one. Roger Staubach bought a house in Pleasant Gap. No offense to Pleasant Gap, but why would Roger Staubach buy a house in Pleasant Gap?
No offense. Urban Meyer bought land near State College.
Rick Neuheisel's having dinner at the tavern restaurant. I said, what? Oh, the things at moments you do have to deal with.
How rumors get started.
You sit there and go, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Okay. You mean, you laugh at first and then you say, oh, wait, you're serious. I have to answer this. The Belmont Stakes is coming up on Saturday, and we will have Dick Girardi on tomorrow. Another perspective on it, we bring in Jody McDonald from CBS Radio Sports. Jody Mack, it is great to have you with us. Is there anything more unpredictable in sports than a mile-and-a-half horse race in June?
Not only a mile-and-a-half, in this particular instance, a mile-and-a-half race that none of these horses have ever gone anywhere near a mile-and-a-half race. There are some mile-and-a-half races. Horses can run them over years for older horses, and they become accustomed to it. Maybe they even like the distance. These horses have never seen it before. So you're asking three-year-olds, many of which don't even have 10 professional starts yet in their career, to do something they've never done before. It is, to use a hackneyed but accurate phrase, a true test of champions.
All right, so there's only one horse in this race that is going to run three times in 5 weeks, and that, of course, is the favorite American Pharoah. When you have watched him stretch himself out after his injury, what has impressed you about him?
Just the fact that he wins easily. It never seems to bother him. It never seems like he's gone completely to the bottom of the tank to win any of his races. He lost his debut as a two-year-old and has now won seven in a row. His one-length win in the Belmont Stakes is actually the closest race he's ever had. And I thought he won that one as easily as it could be. And if he needed to, he would have won by more than a length. So it's not just the fact that he wins. He wins without seemingly going all the way to his nth degree of effort. And when you're seven of eight lifetime, that's pretty damn impressive.
All right, well, let's get to Victor Espinoza, because there is an argument that can be made that he blew the Belmont last year as to how he raced it. This has been a front-running horse. Has that, the less he thinks, the better he rides? Is that simple?
No, and I don't blame Victor Espinoza last year either. He didn't lose because California Chrome didn't lose because of Victor Espinoza. He lost because another horse stepped up, had a big day that day. And California Chrome has gone on to be a very good horse, but not an all-time great horse. So I think the Belmont and the Preakness were outstanding races by California Chrome. Didn't lose because of his jock. I think Victor Espinosa knows exactly what he's going to do tomorrow. He's going to have American Pharoah on or close to the lead. If he's on the lead, he's okay with it. If he's right off the pace set by Materiality, who is the only other horse in this race with that kind of speed, he'll be okay with that too, because the horse has shown he can come from off the pace. And when I say off the pace, I don't mean from the clouds, from way back. He will be very close, but he doesn't have to have his lead. That's why this is a very good horse and can become great on Sunday, because not only does he wins with a level of flexibility.
You mentioned Materiality. Materiality and Frosted are the two other horses that ran the Derby and then skipped the Preakness. What do you see in each of those horses, and does the extra time mean something?
It does, and that's why if there is an upset on Saturday, it'll be because they both decided to take 5 weeks off. The California Chrome Connection last year said it was unfair that their horse had to go through it. Well, that's what makes the Triple Crown great. Yes, you have to do something that others might not be asked to do and go through the grueling three races in 5 weeks. That's why it hadn't happened in 38 years. That's why it's great. That's why you should never change it. So, yeah, it's an advantage for those two horses. They need it because American Pharoah beat them both fair and square in the Derby, and is going to be a heavy favorite to do so again on Saturday.
Yeah, what do the two of them bring to the table that make them a threat beyond the fact that they skipped the Preakness?
Well, they're both talented horses. Materiality was undefeated, a short racing career, only three wins, but his Florida Derby win was very impressive. So we're talking about tough flight horses, and Frosted's win in New York, although it was at Aqueduct. I would love to see that race at Belmont Park, because I think a race over the track always helps. They're both really good horses, and they're going to have really good rest of the seasons and potentially outstanding careers going forward. I just don't know that they're running well enough right now to beat a horse like American Pharoah.
You and I both know that this race history usually is that over time, a horse that didn't enter either wins this race. There are five other entries that fall into that category. Which ones are the ones we should be looking for?
I really don't love the field. Carpe Diem was a hard horse I kind of liked coming into the week. Had a couple of good workouts, but he was all washed out after one of them, and Todd Pletcher decided not to put him in this field. He's a horse I would have actually given a shot to. Made from Lucky, who Pletcher chose to go with, had won the Peter Pan. Last year, Tonalus came out of the Peter Pan and roomed California Chrome's Triple Crown chances. I wasn't near as impressed with Made from Lucky's win in the Peter Pan this year as I was Tona's last year, so that's why I think he will also be and also ran, but you have to give him at least a chance. If any of the other five jump up, including Taylor Verve, who was a suck-up second at the Preakness, I will be very surprised, and you can be guaranteed I'll be ripping up all my tickets. I don't think the new shooters, the other thens, are nearly as competitive this year as other Triple Crowns cappers like Belmont come by.
We're with Jody McDonald of CBS Sports talking about the Belmont Stakes, which takes place Saturday at Belmont Park in Elmont, New York. Bob Baffert, what about the Baffert factor as to how he has trained American Pharoah?
He couldn't have pushed more right buttons. He's done everything perfectly. The horse, as you mentioned in the beginning of the interview, had a little bit of an injury at the end of his two-year-old year, and Baffert gave him plenty of time to recover and brought him back slightly later than maybe he wanted to in his three-year-old campaign, but the results are in, and he ran him absolutely perfectly. He hasn't lost. He hasn't been really challenged in any of his races so far. None came down to the wire. So even though he waited till into March to bring him back in the Rebel as his first stake, you run off victories in the Rebel, handily Arkansas Derby in the Slop, which, oh, by the way, if it rains on Saturday at Belmont, American Pharoah becomes an even bigger favorite than the 3-5 that he is on the morning line, and you wheel that into the Derby and the Preakness. Bob Baffert has handled this horse perfectly.
All right, so on American Pharoah, post position I think is important in the Derby because it's the only race that is run in the United States with more than 14 in it.
Right.
Could really care less about the Preakness thing in terms of post position because it was a limited field. I would say it means nothing in this race because it's a mile and a half and there's only eight horses.
The only way it comes into play is if you've got a speed horse on the rail
right.
who takes a bad step, and he gets buried behind horses, and he has to take a more circuitous route than he usually does. But that's factoring in missteps and or horses missing the break or something like that. Basically, you're right. This is not a race that will be decided by post position. They've got a mile and a half to make their move. There's only eight. There's not 14, 15, 16. There's no horses going to be way outside who are going to have to run significantly more than anybody else. Yeah, the post position draw wasn't of any consequence, and American Pharoah drawing basically in the middle at number five couldn't have done much better.
Finally, Jody, what would it mean for the sport if American Pharoah won? Huge because it's a Triple Crown winner. Does it give the sport a jump, or is it just a great day and a great moment?
It probably gives the sport a jump, not a huge one. Not, oh my God, people will be flocking out to tracks across America for the next 6 months, year, until the Triple Crown rolls around again. It'll be a great story. It'll generate excitement. It'll buy some new fans. Not a huge bump. It's certainly not going to go backwards, so I think the needle has to move some, at least one way or the other, and it'll probably move up, which is a good thing, but it's not going to be a turn the entire sport around type moment. But when we haven't had one in 38 years, and I've been following it all 38 years, yep. and the 13 other shots we've had at the Triple Crown, five times I bet on the horse, eight times I bet against the horse, so I'm not like a sentimentalist who said, we got to have one, we got to have one. I handicap it like I handicap every other race. I think we're going to get our first Triple Crown winner in almost four decades.
Jody McDonald, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Steve, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, bud.
Jody Mack from CBS Radio Sports. Kevin breaks down the interview as only he can in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, top of the ninth inning, and Oakland leads Detroit 7-1. Bottom of the sixth inning, the Orioles and Astros are tied 2-2, but the Astros have the bases loaded. The Astros are 14 games over 500, which means if they play 500 baseball the rest of the way, they'll win 88 games.
Who would have figured that?
That's how well they played. NBA Finals open up tonight, Cleveland and Golden State. In the series is if they win at least one of two in Oakland. If Golden State wins the first two games, win it in five. I think, you know, but if Cleveland get a split there, it changes the dynamics of the series. And by the way, they go back to the 2-2-1-1-1 format this year. They are not going 2-3-2. Okay. First time since the mid-80s. Bo Van Pelt leads the Memorial at 6-under. Tiger Woods shot a 1-over-73, and it was an ugly 1-over-73.
Yeah, he had to rally to get that 1-over-73.
It was all over the course.
Let me ask you this when it comes to the NBA Finals now. If Cleveland doesn't win, is it a failure? Is the season a failure for Cleveland?
No. No. You're talking about a team that has been out of the playoffs ever since, I mean, and getting the first overall pick. Bennett was the first overall pick. Kyrie Irving was the first overall pick. That's where they've been finishing without him. To get back here is a great accomplishment, and you remember Irving's hurt, and Love can't play. So, no, I think getting here is a great accomplishment. I mean, because you got to look at the circumstances involved. This is not Miami of last year. If Miami of last year were playing Golden State this year, and Golden State were to win, that I think I would agree with you. That would be a failure for Miami.
All right, let me rephrase it. What about it from a fan standpoint, then?
What have you been rooting for the last 4 years? You've had nothing to root for 4 years.
I understand what you're saying. Okay. I mean, it's been since the 60s since they've had a championship in that town.
Well, 64, yeah, when the Browns won. But I'm talking about the basketball side of it. When LeBron left to go to Miami, they've been the team that's been getting the first overall pick in the draft.
What does that tell you? He comes back. Now you're back in the finals. Holy cow. And Kevin Love will play for them next year, by the way.
Sadly, that doesn't say much for one player doesn't make a team.
Well, but see, it's a combination of things. They got to this point because, you know, they already had Irving, who was a great player. Now you add in LeBron, and, you know, you forget they added in Love, then they acquired J.R. Smith. This is not just LeBron got them there. J.R. Smith, who had a checkered history with the Knicks, has had a great season once he got to Cleveland. Has been terrific in the playoffs. The two big men that they have now have changed what they have. You know, you got to take a little closer look at what Cleveland has and what they had. A year ago, they didn't have J.R. Smith, didn't have LeBron James, did not have Kendrick Perkins, did not have Kevin Love. They didn't have those guys. Love's an all-star player. LeBron is the best player in the game. To go with an all-star caliber guard in Irving. Well, you've gone from Irving and no one else to suddenly having all of these guys. It's a total, you know, Golden State has taken a slower route to get there. They drafted Draymond Green. They drafted Klay Thompson. They drafted Stephen Curry. Harrison Barnes. I think they acquired Harrison Barnes. No, they may have drafted. They drafted Harrison Barnes, too. They acquired Andrew Bogut. So, you know, they both went different routes. Cleveland went with, we're going nowhere, going nowhere, going nowhere, but they smartly drafted Kyrie Irving. LeBron comes back home. They acquire Kevin Love. Then in the middle of the season, they acquire J.R. Smith. And pick up some insurance in Kendrick Perkins. I mean, they remade the team in a short period of time. Golden State built its team over a long period of time. Curry's only 3 years younger than LeBron, you know. The difference is Curry played 4 years at Davidson. LeBron played out of high school. But it's taken them a while to get there. And Golden State got better and matured, got better and matured, got better and matured. Cleveland, boom. It's not just LeBron James. Now, if you don't have LeBron James, you're not in this spot. But if it's only LeBron James and no J.R. Smith and no Kyrie Irving, they're also not in this spot. And they didn't get to the second best record in the NBA without the adjustments Kevin Love made. Kevin Love made a big difference for them the last 6 weeks of the season. They got him to the number two spot. His mid-range game was changed a lot of things for Cleveland. And he'll be back with them next year. He's already said he's going to play for the Cavaliers next year. He's not going to opt out. Blackhawks won last night. That is a team that you can tell has veterans that have won two Stanley Cups. They're on the road. They're losing all night. Never panicked. Found their spot, picked their spot, took advantage of it, got some momentum, scored again, won the game. Tampa Bay, you could tell the youth came into play. They pulled back, started playing not to lose. The second you do that, what happens? Poof, you lose. John Bacon, next half hour. Penn State, 25 years in the Big Ten today. Lou Prado, final half hour. Kevin, just hanging and being Kevin, as only he can do.